Welcome, everybody. My name is Jenny Friedman. I'm an ADHD coach and the host of the show.
Yeah, we need a lot more people talking about ADHD because
it's invisible.
If you had a pair of glasses that can make you see the invisible, what would ADHD look like?
If you're wondering right now where your glasses are, you're probably in the right place.
This show has a mission.
Demystify and destigmatize ADHD once and for all.
Stuff isn't rocket science, people.
Thanks for joining us today.
No problem.
We've got Christina Favreau on the air with me, and I'm thrilled to meet you, Christina. Hi.
I'm so happy to be here. It happened kind of quickly. I
know. Well, you
go on Twitter, you say you got ADHD and you want to connect with other women, and here we are.
Exactly. And that was what was really exciting for me, is that a friend of mine, Tom Nardone, told me you are starting a podcast and it's about ADHD and it's about women. And I was like, perfect. Let me, you know, follow, connect. Hello.
Who is this crazy lady?
So I do want to know more about you. And I know whoever's listening would love to know more about you because they're probably enjoying podcasts and they will probably love yours. So tell me what you're doing.
Well, as you said, I'm just coming out with a podcast. And so it hasn't officially been released yet. I've still, same concept when you're starting a blog, you don't just start off with one blog post, right? And so for a podcast, you want to have a couple of recordings and interviews under your belt. So this is what I'm doing. I've been working all the month. Oh man, I've been working a couple of months on this. But actually in May, got all my technology stuff figured out, started interviewing some guests. And so I'm hoping for a launch date of June 17th, cross my fingers.
Okay.
Where we'll get to come out. And basically it's called Head On. So Head On Podcast. And it's a show where I want to connect with ambitious, go-getting, not so much entrepreneurial, but just like these high-achieving women, as opposed to hiding behind or using the, you know, the ADHD or ADD label as an excuse or a crutch, or to just like complain about all these things that we can't do or all the things that we've forgotten or whatever, is using that brain power to like, some of these stories, Jennifer, is just like crazy. They're like, well, I figured out that I can do this, 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 and this. And this is all my life experience. Because as ADHDers, we're kind of a jack of all trades most of the time, because we get bored with something, we start with something new. And so over the years, you get experience in all these different things. Well, these women have like made the connection with all these experiences they've had and are like creating incredible creative businesses. Super
That's
fun.
Exciting. Yeah. And so it sounds like they're resourceful, but also making these connections is what's setting them like up for major success.
Well, I don't know. I struggle, and I've spoken with other ADHD women about the word success.
Okay.
And actually a huge procrastination part of getting my podcast up was coming up with a name that kind of said it, you know, it's got to be short and sweet and all this stuff, but I didn't want the word success or thriving or any, because I think as ADHD women and people in general, we kind of struggle with the word success. Like we never really feel like we're good at anything. And I know that's totally negative, and I don't try to stay stuck in there, but we're figure outers.
Right.
And so I struggle with that word success.
You know which word I hate? You said it, thriving. I hate the word thriving. And yeah. I've used it myself because it's sometimes it's the right word, but
it's catchy.
It's overused.
Yes. Well, you know, a lot of these word wristers.
Thriving for success. It's like, what does that mean? It's so subjective.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for sure you can use it in a context where it will make sense. But yeah, I wouldn't say we consider ourselves, like even so far the women that I've spoken with is like, they don't to me, success is like, I've achieved it. Whereas we are striving as opposed to thriving. We're kind of always trying to better ourselves. And because we know what ADHD does, I mean, yes, we get distracted. Yes, we have procrastination. And for me, I'm like a crazy butterfingers. And I will say the most inappropriate things at the most inappropriate times. And I'll be ironic, or I'll try to like say something funny with a serious face and no one's going to get it. Oh, you know, buzzkill.
And it just sits there.
It just sits there.
And no everyone has a blank face. You're like, that was funny, guys.
I was supposed to be, and I'm the only one laughing. So yeah, I don't even know where I was going with that. I totally forgot where I started. Well, that you know,
I think that, you know, some of this feeling, this never good enough feeling certainly does come from feelings of, you know, if you've gotten negative feedback over your life. But I think there's also the issue of the internal reward system is different for people with ADHD. And so if you always have to really look outside yourself for the rewards and to gauge how you're doing, I can imagine that you would, I mean, that to me, that's sort of like, ooh, that maybe that's playing into why there's always this, you know, I'm doing, because here's an example. I met this woman who lives down the street from me, and she has ADHD, but we didn't know it at the time. So I'm first meeting her, and I'm sitting still at her like kitchenette thing. And she's now got a blender and she's throwing spinach in it. And she's got something in the oven. She's over here. Now she's pulling out a pot and she's also working on like a macrame project thing. And in my mind, I'm sitting there like, oh geez, here we go. Here's one of those overachievers.
Looking at her, right?
Yeah. She's an overachiever. It's going to make me look like a lazy do nothing. Like what the, you know, she just couldn't sit still. And I, you know, now I look back and laugh and say, you know, it was so obviously what was going on was a lot to do with ADHD. But
yeah. And I would say maybe she was like in a hyper-focus mode, and we do feed off of kind of like, you know, I'm tired of waiting for this, you know, whatever. If she was in the kitchen, I'm tired of waiting for this cake to bake. So I'm going to start something else.
And then I don't want to waste something time. Else.
I'm not going to waste time. I'm here. I'm ready.
And the conversation we were having, I think, was stimulating for her. So she was engaged with me. But, you know, from my point of view, I was like, I could not be here. You know, like, what?
It is. I know we are exhausting sometimes.
Like, am I in your way?
No. And that's the thing is I think, I don't know. I know for myself, like, I would let you know very clearly either by like a, you know, either always having to walk around you or, you know, I would probably run into you or step on your foot or something if you were in my way. The way my kitchen is set up, it's like my friends can sit at the counter while I'm doing my thing.
That's
and we're talking
works.
And I'm moving, you know, like the bottom part of my body is moving, which is very, very important. Like for kids in school and stuff to be moving the bottom part of their body because they're required to keep this part, you know, writing and being concentrated and everything. So I'm moving the lower part of my body, walking around in the kitchen. I have my hands moving as well. I have my brain that's like, okay, I need to do this and do this. And plus I'm having a conversation. To me, that's heaven.
Right.
If you can keep up with me, like we are friends for life because to me, like you're getting. And it's so great that you were able to like, just kind of be there and, you know, just kind of be there with this woman because some people like they find that exhausting or can I help with something? You look so busy. No. I'm in my element right now.
Right.
You're exactly where you should be.
Right.
Where I should be.
And the only thing that was funny was I remember the thought I had was I was judging myself against her because I'm not really a homemaker type, you know, like.
Okay.
So I'm thinking to myself, she looks like she's doing this right. You know, like maybe that's why nothing gets done at my house. Cause I hate, you know, the laundry and I hate the cleaning and I'm not about to put spinach or kale in a blender. You know, that's never going to happen in my life. So I'm looking at her and judging myself. And
yeah, that's projection, right? Like that's totally projection because she was probably looking at you and saying, how can she just sit? I wish I could just sit there and relax and be with her. I know I can't even have my best friends who know me so well in my kitchen, in my home. And I have to go, 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 go. And they're like, can't you just sit and relax? I'm like, actually, no, I can't.
It's not the same. It's not, that wouldn't be fun for me.
No, exactly. And you know, she might have been there saying, you know, I wish I could just sit there and relax and enjoy her company.
I know. It's funny. Well, now we're really good friends and we laugh about that because it's, you know, I think that's really important though for people to understand what they're seeing when they see ADHD and they don't get that, you know, what would be chaos for me is not chaos for you, kind of a thing. You can't judge people. In fact, now I just thought about it. Like I'm judging myself against her. Like we can't judge. The judgment has to go.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. How. Because you have your strengths and I'm kind of sick and tired of like being apologized to, and I will probably do it. I still have a lot of apologizing left to get out of my system. And I think that's just like human nature or woman nature or whatever that is. But honestly, like someone gives you a compliment, say thanks.
Right.
Like not, oh, well, you know, I have to give you a compliment back or an equally awesome compliment.
Or what does she mean by that?
Yeah, what does she mean by that? Or, you know, she really doesn't know me. And then I have to make sure I tell her all of my, all the mistakes I did to make up for this compliment she just gave me. Like, just say thanks. Yeah, you know what? It's true. This is what I want to do with my show as well. Is like, yeah, ADHD has a negative side. But whether I have ADHD or not, I'm still going to have imperfections. I'm still going to have negative things. So it's like, quit complaining about what you can't do and just like own what right. It is. Like my brain, because I have ADHD, I'm not smarter than anyone. And that's not what ADHD is about at all. And anyone who would,
and I've lost my thought.
Well, you know, let's go back to the show. Let's go back to the show because I think it's always interesting to know why people want to do a podcast. So how did the desire, I know what you want to do, but how did this desire to do this start?
So I like to say that I started podcasting before I knew what podcasting was. Maybe about 10 years ago, I started recording my voice in MP3s before iTunes, before hosts and all that. And I was posting them on my website, making them available. Then I had this crazy idea. We had kids. Okay. I had 3 kids in under 3 years.
Oh, wow.
And at that time I was working from home. And so when my youngest was 1, I went on hiatus. So I had my 3 kids at home. I shut everything down. I took down all my MP3s and everything. April 2013, I came back to work. I'm a virtual assistant. That's what I do for work. And so I came back to work for a client and whatever. And just beginning in 2015 is when I'm actually able to start thinking about my business. And I was thinking, you know what? I really would like to get back into podcasting. I really enjoy that. I don't know why. I tried the video thing. And I'm trying to, you see my pencil going around here.
Yeah.
I'm very animated. You know, my eyes are talk and my hands are always moving. On video, it comes off as annoyingly obnoxious.
You think?
See, yes, it does.
I have stretchy face, so I know what you mean. I look at myself like, you know, and I see,
but it brings life. However, when you are animated, but all you have is this microphone and you're plugged into people's ears, they can feel that energy. Yeah. So if it's someone that's talking like this, that's very serious and that's, you know, you have visuals to kind of point to, that's really boring to listen to. And so I'd like to think that, you know, my animated nature makes podcasting the ideal. And editing audio is much easier than editing video. So that's how the idea of the podcast came. I'm lazy. That's what it's all about.
I just had this vision in my head. If you were jumping all around, and then you tried to edit the video, it would look crazy. You'd be one person.
I've tried it. Exactly. I've tried it, and I look ridiculous, and my eyes are big like this, and then I'm like, you know, doing all these different faces. I'm like,
or you pop up over time for on the this. Left, and then you're on the right, then you're in the middle, and then you're, you know.
Or, you know, my hand is here, and then all of a sudden it disappears out of it. No, it doesn't work. So yeah, podcasting just works for me.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, that's great. So it's something you already knew you liked. And then how did you determine that you want to specialize with women? Am I speaking wrong? Did you decide
that? No. You're on the right track there. Basically, so I'm a marketing junkie, all right? And the book, The 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing, if you haven't read that book and you're a business owner, you must read that book.
Oh,
22 Immutable Laws. Yeah, 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing. Very simple, old school marketing. I love this stuff. I just eat this stuff up. Law number one is you need to be first in a category. Right. And so you need to be the first, you know, Coca-Cola or Pepsi, you know, whatever. Coca-Cola was the first in, you know, carbonated beverages. And they will always be first. They will always be first in your mind, no matter what. If you can't be first in something, then you have to be the first in a category. So I can't say I'm the first podcaster. I can't go there. I can't even say I'm the first ADHD podcast. And I knew it had to be ADHD related. And I did know that it needed to be business related because I'm a virtual assistant. I don't want to just do a passion project, like, you know, a quilting podcast or something. I want it to have some sort of parallel relation to my business. So even though I'm not talking about virtual assisting, I am connecting with business women, which I'm like super passionate about. And so I'm like, okay, well, there's no other podcast that is specifically dedicated to the high achieving, ambitious woman with ADHD. And basically the way I see it is I wanted a podcast that I wish I had, like, I wish I could listen to.
Gotcha.
That's kind of how it came about.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
And if that didn't work, I got like 20 more in the bag.
You know, I'm listening to you and I'm like, well, there's another thing I didn't do. You know, when I started doing this podcast, I didn't do any of the, like you said, oh, you have to have some like in the bank. I'm like, yeah, I didn't do that. I have one. I put up one. I had another one. I put up another one. And
yeah, well, look, I have three kids and summer is coming, right? So I can't be spending all of my summer looking for guests, recording post-production. It's a pain, like a crazy pain. I'm going to spend 10 hours on a 1 hour podcast. So
that's right. But then also when I think of I guess I'm the first that's having an ADHD podcast that speaks to both people with it and without it and tries to sort of marry up the understanding between the two. And I don't know how that's easy to say in a marketing, what do they call them?
You're talking about like your little, your little tagline thing, right?
Right. Yeah. It's a work in progress. So. But it is fun.
And sometimes that's what you have to do. What you have to do sometimes is just do it. Like if you know these are the people you want to be talking with and you want to be having conversations with, then eventually like you're just going to have these conversations like, oh yeah, the theme seems to be this.
Right.
So maybe it's not women. Maybe it's...
Right. And one of the reasons why that'll be fun to have you on is because of your business, you know, not just interest and background, but like expertise, like that's your focus is on, again, that word successful women, but like business women or women who have really connected the dots to make things happen for themselves. And, you know, speak to that as far as not just what makes you interested in it, but what has made you be able to do that. I mean, forget the ADHD for a minute, just all women who, cause that's a big topic by itself is having kids. And I mean, you're like the hot fudge sundae that everyone I know wants to be, you know, like have. They want to have.
I'm going to have to steal that.
You're like, you get to be at home and you get to, you know, be in business and make money and you get to have your kids and determine what's going on with your family. Like you're the pinnacle. Like, yeah, you're the yum factor here. What has made you be able to do that? That people could hear you talk about and maybe say, oh, I could do that.
Honestly, my husband. So if it wasn't for his support, he works full time, he feeds the family, he pays the bills. And so whatever money I make is gravy. Like I will pay for the groceries,
right,
the weeks that I get paid and that I have clients. The important thing for us was that I be home for the kids. So when they get home, you know, they get off the bus, I'm home. If they have, you know, all these days off school, then I'm here. So to me, the key is my partner, my husband.
Right.
So he supports what I do. We live a very simple lifestyle. We don't have the house that we want. I don't get to buy clothes that I want. I don't, you know, we don't take fancy vacations, none of that. So it's kind of the, I hesitate using the word sacrifice because we were doing this even before I had kids.
Right.
You know, I've been doing this for, in October will be my 12th year in business, minus my 4-year hiatus, but I've been doing this for 12 years. My oldest is 9 years old. And so we were doing this before, and it was basically my husband to keep my sanity. I worked full time. I worked for the man. I did it. I'm a very hard and good worker. I totally burned out.
Yeah.
And so
me too.
I always knew I was going to be an entrepreneur. I always knew. I wish I could pinpoint like the year or the age that I was when I remember thinking I am going to have my own business. So I was like in my late 20s when I finally decided, okay, I better do this.
Right. Right. So, well, that is powerful to determine, okay, here's what I want to do. And then here's like what can make that happen within my realm of my life. Like you have a support system. Other people have a family and they do it when they come home from the man job, you know, they come home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Work on their thing, but carving out that space for yourself. I do the same thing. The kids, okay, now they're at school, they're set. Now I get to do my thing. And we as women put ourselves second all the time.
And not second, last.
Right. Right.
It's you know, true. Second would be an honor. It'd be nice to be second.
Yes, you're right. You're right. It's last.
I don't even think we make the list.
Right, right. Well, you know what? For a lot of women, they don't. They really don't even. No. Yeah. So in being inspiring and showing other people other successes, what more, what's the goal for you?
With my podcast or just my business in general?
In your business in general, because I look at you, you do coaching, right? You know, what all do you do? Tell us about yourself.
So I'm a virtual assistant or online business manager.
Right.
So basically a client will come to me and say, hey, Christina, I would like to I would like to have a telesummit. I would like to run a telesummit. Can you do that? And because of my ADHD, right, I'm like, I've never done that before, but you know what? I'm so game. And
yes,
I will hyper-focus.
I can do that.
I will hyper-focus. We can do it. You know, hold my hand, we'll jump in the water together. That's kind of my thing that I bring to my business. And my hyper-focus, I'm just going to like for a week or two, just totally immerse myself. If it's something that's new, something that I haven't done before, like a telesummit. This happened to me last year. My client came to me in February last year. And she said, have you ever done a telesummit before? I'm like, no. She's like, this is a vision I had. She gave me a picture of her whiteboard of the speaker she wanted to have and everything. She's like, do you think we can do this? I'm like, absolutely. Let's do it. How hard can it be? famous last words.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Oh my goodness. So those sort of things, you know, getting a newsletter, getting a blog up, you know, putting coaching packages together, putting an ebook together, those sort of things as a virtual assistant. When I found out I was pregnant, I knew I couldn't, because before my kids, I was like 24/7 availability. That was kind of my thing with my clients. You can call me anytime. I was in Montreal at that time, very central. You know, if there was a client that was downtown in Montreal, I can go and see them, no problem. Lots of networking, all of that. Then I got pregnant and I knew I couldn't offer that. I didn't want to have that side of my business anymore, offering myself 24/7. And so I got myself certified as a coach and specialized in marketing coaching. So small business owners that are service-based, so not product-based. I'm not so good like with product and retail, but services, like how do you productize that thing that you do?
Yeah.
I really love that. And at one point I called myself the brainstormist.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, my brain, I know I'm not the process of brainstorming. I know there's like a whole science behind it and I don't really like follow that so much. But I'm a compartmentalized thinker. Like my brain, if you're telling me things, I'm like already, I'm going to draw myself, you know, where I'm making like little squares in my brain.
Right.
And it's like everything that the client is telling me, I'm putting them in these boxes. I'm like, you have like five different programs inside of you. They're like, what? I'm like, yeah, you said this, this, and this. And they're like, oh my goodness, you're right. So I'm like, okay, which one do you want to start with?
That's brilliant.
So, yeah. So the coaching side as well. And now podcasting. And with the podcasting as a virtual assistant, then I can now offer podcast publishing support.
Oh, that's really awesome.
It's fun.
So I see what you're saying. It's like you started with one thing and it's now become like the add-on, like you're starting to mix them together and be able to just do more and be more.
Well,
in a business way, it's not like you learned, okay, let me go learn podcasting so that I can start my business. This is just organically who you've become.
Exactly. And I'm not, I've dealt with a lot of, I don't want to say self-esteem issues, but like self-conscious, you know, on a very self-conscious level, I didn't, like after high school, I didn't go to college or university or anything. I didn't know I had ADHD then. I only found out like 4 years or let's see. Yeah. Three, four years ago that I had ADHD. In high school, I didn't know I had ADHD. I just knew I needed to get the heck out of there. I didn't want to be sitting. I just wanted to do something like, get me out of this building already, please. And so straight out of high school, I got like cleaning contracts and I was like a nanny and a house manager. And then that worked up to being a receptionist. When their kids started school, then while they were in school, I would go in their office, work in their office as receptionist. And I wanted to move. At that time, I was in the country. Newly married, I wanted to get out of the country and I can't stand this country life. And you know,
I would die in the country.
I give
a lot of credit because I have allergies. The whole thing is,
I don't have allergies. Thank goodness. My husband does, but yeah, I wanted to be out in the city and my husband is amazing. And he's a total opposite of me. He's not ADHD. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. I don't know how he puts up with me sometimes, but I told him, you know what? I'm going crazy in this country. And you know, he's like, you know what? Find a job in Montreal and we'll do it. I'm like, really cool. So I found a job in Montreal. I, you know, started off as a receptionist and then I moved up into like the internal purchasing department, which was like a fancy, really fancy label. And then I got a like crazy awesome job in internal sales. I found my strengths during that time of customer service, very personable, one-on-one, really good on the phone. I'm not good at sales. I'm horrible at sales. Oh, I'm not a good salesperson.
What kind of company was this?
It was all in computers, like selling computer parts.
Okay.
So yeah, that was a lot of fun, but I ended up burning out because I care too much about my job and shareholders don't give a crap. about you. Yeah. So I burned myself out. I burned out. I completely burned out. One morning, a Saturday morning, I could not get out of bed. I had this like crazy pain in my stomach or whatever. And during that time, I decided, you know what? Like, it's not worth it. All this money that I'm making is not worth it. I want to do my thing, work from home. I want the work that I'm doing, the good work, the good, hard, honest work that I'm doing to come back to me.
Right.
Not in a selfish way, but it's like, I charge this much money. It comes to me.
Yeah. It doesn't say Christina's on the building.
No.
And I'm working like it does.
Yeah.
So I should have a building that has my name on it.
I don't need that. I just, you know, just tell me, hey, Christina, I need like 10 minutes of your time.
I would like to know what else you would like people to know about you, because you said that you have been working, like you took a hiatus and you're back. And this, is this like a new being back, or is this like a soft being coming back, or?
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's a hard, because when you're building your business or anything, you know, like for me, it was my blog. Like that was a big thing. My site, my blog, I was posting articles. I had my newsletter. I was very active on social media, and I was very active in the virtual assistant circles. And so giving presentations, telesummits, such my element, like just totally, totally my element. But I also had an incredible amount of guilt. Here I had, like I said, 3 kids in under 3 years. And so my youngest was born. My oldest was not yet 3 years old. The two older ones were in daycare. And I'm like, I'm working from home so I can be with my kids, but I'm sending off to daycare so that I can do my work. So I had an incredible amount of guilt on that side. I don't know if it's like typical to ADHD or what, but I'm like a workaholic, to an unreasonable point. I mean, I totally know it, and I have to like constantly rein myself in. And so I couldn't keep, and you know this, right, Jennifer, when you have a business, it's like your job is to market.
Oh it's yeah. I tell people
marketing.
Yeah. 90% is marketing, and my coaching and clients, like 10%.
Exactly. Your job is marketing. Well, the amount of work required of what I was doing, speaking, you know, social media, writing blogs, sending out a newsletter, all of that, it was just like a little too much. So I just said, you know what? I'm going to wait until my kids go into school, and then I can go back to my fun. Because really, like I said, my husband has taken the responsibility of providing for the family. So I was really doing it just to kind of feed my ambitious spirit.
Right.
I felt very selfish for doing. I had my kids, and I'm setting up the daycare so that mommy can play on the computer, you know?
Well, I totally know. That's what it seems like to people. But when you are the one that has this drive, it feeds into your purpose. Mm-hmm. And that feeds into your spirit.
Absolutely.
And so how you can be the way I reconciled it was to be the best mom and to be a happy person in the world and in my family, that part of me needs to be fed. I mean, yes. I need to tend to that.
That's exactly the metaphor that I use as well. I need to feed that entrepreneurial side of me. I consider myself a born entrepreneur. I always knew. And as a teenager, I remember, you know, as a kid, we had lemonade stands, and I was, you know, cutting, mowing lawns for my neighbors, and like making that $20. Wow, man,
yeah.
That was fun. I did that, and no one gave me that money. Like, we were dirt poor anyway. So I never got allowance or anything. So it's like, I made this money and I get to choose how to use it. And then as a teenager, like in high school, I was making like bracelets and, you know, different things.
Yeah.
And just, and then into adulthood, it's like, what's that thing that I can do? What is that thing?
That
like, what is my
go
thing?
Away. Right. That
never.
that doesn't change just because you could become a mom.
No. Oh, no. It's a huge, I mean, it is part of who I am. And by the time my youngest was four, I was just like, I need to feed the beast. Not that I'm unhappy as a mother. I love my kids. I'm not like the crawl around on the ground, run after my kids type of mom. We raise very independent kids. We don't baby talk to our kids or anything like that. Our kids are like, they're not attached. You know, we want our kids to be independent when they go to grandma's house, not be crying, I miss mom and dad. No, you know, it's like, you know what? You need to like go out into the world, and we raise independent children that way. We are independent. My husband and I are very, very independent. And I sort of had to get over myself, like, oh, I wish I was the perfect mom. I wish I was, you know, the perfect housewife. I wish I didn't feel like I felt fulfilled by doing my work. I wish I felt fulfilled by, you know, raising my children and keeping a clean home. It's like I had to get over myself and say, like, I'm doing the best I can with what I have. And that even though I'm not, you know, quote, whatever perfect means, right? I mean, whatever it's projection. It's like looking at what other moms are doing. Oh, I'm not doing that. I must suck as a mom, as opposed to, you know what? Like, I'm teaching my kids how to be entrepreneurs. I'm teaching my kids how to use technology. My son is learning how to code, and my second child, my daughter, she wants to start a podcast. I'm like,
that's a great influence. Absolutely. Well, you know, you said something, and it made me, all of a sudden I had another question. So you're coming back, and I'm sure things are a lot the same, but like, I'm sure they're a little different too, because everything's moved so fast. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing as the biggest, where you have to, maybe there's a gap between the way you were doing things and like what you need to do now?
Definitely. I mean, there's so many different ways to connect now, and you sort of get the message of, well, if you're not doing this, then you're missing out, you know, like for a while, way back when it was Twitter, you know, if you're not on Twitter, you're missing out. And I went, you know, I remember my first time on Twitter. I was like, what? Who is this person talking to? And why would I want to follow this? And who's this following me? Like, what? Who is this creep?
It was all very bizarre. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Oh, like, very, very overwhelming.
I was like, I don't know who would use that. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
Exactly. So, you know, that hasn't changed. I mean, I'm glad, you know, Twitter hasn't changed, and Facebook is still around. Facebook is kind of my weapon of choice. I like hanging out there because I can connect a little bit.
Me
deeper.
Too. It's so easy.
Yeah. But I do like Facebook because there's like quips, you know, like it's very short and sweet. And with my Head On podcast account, I've been very choosy on who I follow, and it's strictly those that are in the ADHD realm.
Okay.
And so I have already made like amazing connections on Twitter, which is a total a new thing for me. Obviously, podcasting has changed a lot since, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago when I had sort of, you know, posting MP3s. That's not really podcasting. It was called podcasting then. But, you know, now you need a host, and iTunes is like a big deal. If you're not on iTunes, you don't exist. That sort of thing. The quality, like the expectation to have such good quality audio now is more important than the content, which I find very sad. Because I feel
that's sort of crazy.
It is. It's sad. And I know like people will make exceptions. If the content is really good, you're going to have a loyal fan base. However, if someone comes out with the same podcast as you and their artwork is better, they have better show notes, they have a better website, they post videos, and their audio quality is kick ass, and they're doing like, almost like, you know, the startups and serial type editing.
Yeah.
Which you need an entire team to do that.
I know.
You know, and I think more people need to understand, like, shows like Serial and, you know, all the NPR startup, all of that, everything that's under Gimlet Media, those are considered, as my friend Heather from Craftlet, she calls them pro casts. You cannot expect to start off doing a podcast. If you come off with that expectation, you're going to burn yourself out, because you're going to be editing. That's all you're going to be doing, is editing and recording and little quips and spending money on audio and stuff. It's just totally unreasonable. So that I find is a little sad. And there's also like content overwhelm.
Yes. There is so much out there.
Indeed. It's hard to kind of,
yeah. And as a consumer, you got to think, you know,
you have so much to sift through, so much information to sift through, and all these, you know, product funnels and email tricks. And I can't stand that. It's like, I'm a very old school marketer. Like, you connect with people, you give people value first. And by value, I mean, like, if someone on Facebook or whatever says, oh, I need help with this, don't offer them a clarity session. Pick up the phone or send them a Skype and say, hey, I have 10 minutes. Do you want to Skype with me and like work that out? And have no expectations, and not, I'm not going to add you to my email list. I just want to help you as a human being.
Right.
I find we've lost a lot of that.
Right. I am hearing a lot of the same, like you just said, a clarity session. I mean, a lot of the same. Hey, and the people could be great at what they do.
They are.
I'm not bashing.
Not that they're doing it wrong. It's just.
No. But the system, the way it's progressed, and you're absolutely right. It's become sort of an animal all above and beyond what people actually do. And what people actually do is really good. And then all this other stuff, it really could hold people back.
Yeah.
From even, because I myself have been, I felt that way. Like, I, you know, who am I? I can't do those things. Those amazing sound, like, you know, I don't have sponsors for my show. I actually am getting a sponsor.
Yeah, don't get me started
in
on
a
that.
Different way. And I said, you know what I want to put out is like a 30-minute show, which is just kick-ass. People listen to it, and then they walk away thinking that the other person they just listened to, they hear some commonality. My job is done.
Yeah.
That's, you know. And then, yeah, it's fun to promote it, and it's fun to hear what people say and all that stuff. But I haven't gotten to the point where I figured out how to, you know, if you're spending 3 or 4 minutes every 15 minutes in an hour show promoting something, it's, I don't think that's me, but that's not, I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm not there.
Well, I think also the message that we're getting, because, and I'm just thinking specifically in podcasts, because I haven't seen it too much in video, maybe because YouTube has like ads already. And so we're kind of already annoyed by that, but that's YouTube. It's not like the person who's shooting the video is putting these, you know, clips, advertising clips and getting money that way. It's the way YouTube is set up. Whereas a podcast, it's like, I'm actively searching out, and I get it. I mean, podcasting, first of all, okay, just so that we're really, really clear, and I referred to blogging at the beginning of our conversation, where when you start a blog, you don't just, you know, it's better that you don't just start off with one post. People will come on, you start promoting. It's like, at least have like 3, 4, or 5 articles that people can read through, get a feeling for what your blog is about. A blog is a marketing channel. Podcasting is a marketing channel, which means you invest in your marketing, which means you spend money, right? You invest means you spend money. So it's an expense. This microphone was not free. I have a mixer on my board. I have no clue what on my desk. I have no clue what I'm doing. I have no clue. I see the lights light up and stuff. I'm talking and the green light's going on. So it must be working.
That's great. Anyways,
you know, I have the mixer. I have the software, all that. I don't expect people to pay me for that. You know, I chose to start a podcast. So now I'm going to subject you to like, and you know, a 15 second, 30 second spot is fine. What I take objection to is when I first listen to a podcast and I have a 4 minute interview with a sponsor. That's not what I came in here for.
Right.
Again, it's fine. And it pays the bills. I get it. I get the reasons why. I wish someone would pay me to podcast. I really do. And if you find a way, Jennifer, please tell me.
Well, I've always wanted to be one of those AM radio people. Like, I know that's
talk radio. I know. Oh,
talk radio. That's why I put it in my name. I was like CNADHD talk radio, because I am like, I would love to just be in everybody's car as they're driving to work. And let's just talk it out. Let's just talk to each other, talk about this. I love to talk.
Podcasting is for you, Jennifer, because the 2015 cars are coming out with Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Yeah. So Stitcher is being installed into car radios now.
Oh, wow.
So podcasts are going to be in cars. How cool is that?
Yes. I can realize my dream.
You can. Absolutely. Let's get started. When do you want to start?
That's awesome. Oh, wow. I don't even know what else I'd like to ask you, because my mind is a little blown right now. I'm like, oh, wow, that's so cool. I didn't even know. Is there anything else you'd like people to know about you before we wrap it up? Because I could talk to you all day.
I feel the same. I think, you know, ADHD, you know, I can talk and talk and talk.
You have to have me on your show, even though I don't have ADHD.
Well, you know, I've actually thought of a way to have you on my show.
Oh, yeah?
And so either we can talk about it after the recording, we can talk about it now. I don't care. I'm a total open book. I need to record my episode one, which is me about my show. I hate talking to myself. As much as I love talking, I hate talking to myself. I need someone to interview me.
I would love that. Oh, let me be me.
Oh, it could be Jennifer. You know, for me, it needs to be a woman, because my show is, Tom has actually offered. He's like, well, I'll do it if I have to. I'm like, Tom, you're a guy. Like, that's not going to work. And God love him. I love Tom.
Me too.
He is just the biggest hearted person.
Yes, he is.
Funniest. I mean, I love him to death. And if your audience does not know the Tom Nardone show.
I've had him on my show and he has been mentioned in a few shows. And here he is again being mentioned in another show.
You must.
And I have actually his book right here. I finished it in about... It's Chasing Kites by Tom Nardone. I finished it in 2 days because I couldn't put it down.
Me too. I'm like, I was binge reading it.
Me too.
And honestly, like if you have ADHD, if you have a child who is ADHD, you must read this book. It is not when you think Tom Nardone, you think it's going to be like full of like jokes and like irony.
Sarcasm and irony.
Which there is.
Which I love, but
it's a story about a boy who has ADHD and no one around him knows it, not even himself.
Yeah.
And the hell he went through and the internal hell. And this is the thing with ADHD, Jennifer, as kids, it's because our brains are going like a million miles a minute. It's all, you know, going in your brain and all these messages that you're getting. Oh, can't you do anything right? Or what were you thinking? You know, I have ADHD. My son is ADHD and I hear those words coming out of my mouth. I'm like, I'm sorry I said that. I know.
Yeah.
I know what your brain
is. I even said that. Right. Well,
you know, we're used to saying that, but you must, if you have a child with ADHD, you must read Tom's book. If you want to know what's going on inside of your child's head, you will get a glimpse in Tom's book. It was.
Oh, yeah.
Emotionally.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah. It was heartbreaking in parts that I think every family member needs to understand the impact that the innocence and the wonderment of the world that we all come into this. I mean, not all, but for the majority of us, we're fortunate enough to come into the world wanting to be here, wanting to love, wanting to have fun and make friends, and how that can like slippery
slope. One word is all it takes,
you know, and it's like
mess it up.
But he just so pointedly, you know, put his thoughts on paper. So I'm with you. So we just did an advertisement.
This episode is sponsored by Tom Nardone.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. We love you.
We love you. But I would love to do that. That would be to interview you. It would be an honor. And it's been a lot of fun having you here today. Thank you
a lot of fun.
So much. And I will put everything in the show notes as how people can contact you. But if you'd like to give real quick what that is.
Sure. Everything, like I said, beginning of 2015 is where I finally just put emphasis on my own business. And I do everything myself. I'm not a web designer or anything. So
right.
My regular website is Christina Favreau. That's Christina without an H. So ChristinaFavreau.com. That's sort of where my VA stuff is. I've got 14 top free launch tools. So if you're running a business online, the amount of tools needed and the expense, like a lot of these are monthly memberships, and it just like is going to drive you to bankruptcy. So I just listed my 14 favorite free tools in there. It's a free download. You just obviously put in your email address. I want your email address so I can keep stalking you, right?
This is my freemium.
Yes, exactly. And for my podcast, head on podcast.com.
Perfect. Perfect.
And so I'm on social media, Twitter and Facebook. If you head on podcast on Twitter and Facebook, and Christina Favreau VA on Facebook for my virtual assistant business.
Oh, cool. I mean, I could see people wanting to access you from all angles.
Access me as much as you want. I'm very exactly. accessible.
Well, thank you again. And I will talk to you soon. Have
Thanks,
a great
Jennifer.
Day.
Bye. You too.
Bye. Wow, that was a lot of fun. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Christina. So I encourage all of you to check out headonpodcast.com. And I'd like to invite you to subscribe to the show, CNADHD Talk Radio. I've been leaving ratings and reviews, and I want to thank you. If you haven't yet done it, be sure and go to iTunes. Click, rate, review. Many of you have also reached out to me on Twitter. It's been a fabulous response, and I'm real excited to keep putting out great shows that you want to hear. If you have an idea, or if you'd like to be on the show yourself, make sure you reach out to me and we can get that set up. And remember, whether you have ADHD yourself, or you just live with or love someone else who does, we're all in it together, and everybody benefits when we see through the other's eyes.